32 signed up. We'll see if they're all here. Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to the afternoon session of the August 26th meeting of the Portland City Council. Would you please call the roll?
Saltzman.
Here.
Novick.
Here.
Fritz.
Here.
Fish.
Here.
Hales.
Here. Welcome, everyone. We have a single item on the council calendar. I'll have our clerk read it in a moment, but just some basics first before we get started. This will actually be the continuation of a previous hearing from a week ago. There are people who are signed up to speak from that hearing who didn't get a chance to be heard. So the purpose of today's hearing is to hear them and then to give the council a chance to deliberate and to discuss the report that's in front of us. If you're here and signed up to speak, we'll be trying to allow each person 2 minutes just because of the number of people, assuming that most of them showed up. You don't need to give us your address, just your name if you're here to speak. Obviously, we'll maintain the rules of decorum here in the council chambers as we always do, and that is if you agree with someone and want to show your support for their position, feel free to give them a thumbs up or a wave of the hand, and vice versa. If you disagree with someone and really want to demonstrate that, give them a thumbs down or some other polite hand gesture. But we ask that we not make vocal demonstrations in favor or against our fellow citizens' points of view in here so that this council gets to hear them. So that's the situation. I'll ask our clerk to read the item since we haven't done that yet. Item number 901.
901. Accept the Private for Hire Transportation Innovation Task Force recommendations on taxis and transportation network companies. Final report.
And Commissioner Novick, do you have any comments or suggestions before we start hearing folks?
This is an opportunity, of course, to hear from people who didn't get a chance to testify up last week, and also for the council to identify any questions that they'd like the task force to continue to explore. I mean, the task force has done tons of work, and at some point they're going to have to close up shop, and it may not be that they have the capacity to explore every question. People might be interested in having them answer, but they're willing to entertain taking a further look at some additional questions. We've got a number of people here who are available to answer questions of various kinds. I believe that we have Kenton Brine, Assistant Vice President of Property Casualty Insurers Association, to give us that industry's perspective on insurance questions people might have, take us into the briny deep of those questions, as it were. We have Brooke Steger and Caitlin O'Neill available from Uber to talk about TNC questions. Unfortunately, we don't have a Lyft representative today. We've got Jody Yates and Ken McGair to address private for hire program questions. Also, just want to say a bit about the timeline. We received the task force's report on August 20th. We're going to have a complete status report on October 7th. I expect to have a council work session on a draft final regulatory proposal late October, early November, and the pilot expires on December 19th, so our deadline for having final regulations would be before that.
Okay, that's very helpful. Thank you.
Mayor, can I just make a comment?
Please.
At the last hearing, I noted that the technical issue before us today is whether we accept a report. And in my view, accepting a report is a ministerial action. There's a report, we accept it. It doesn't mean that we are accepting all the recommendations. It means the report goes from the committee to the council for further action. As the commissioner in charge just noted, we are not today taking up final regulations. So I just want to signal for people that are testifying, what is helpful for this commissioner and potentially my other colleagues is not having 30 people all say the same thing, because there's no extra credit for just having cumulative testimony. It's having people identify specific issues of concern and educate us about your point of view. But 30 people singing off the same hymnal doesn't get us as far as very surgical comments that allow us then, once the testimony's over, to discuss what are our next step. And I think there's going to be some discussion about directing staff to do some things over the next 120 days. And I'd hate you to miss an opportunity to frame your concern by just singing off the same hymnal for the next 2 hours. So please don't feel you need to repeat a common theme in the testimony. If there's something very specific you want us to understand, please take advantage of the time to educate us. Thank you, Mayor.
Okay, thank you. Any other comments or suggestions? All right, thank you. Let's go to the sign-up sheet of those that, again, signed up but didn't get a chance to speak before. Again, our apologies for that, and thanks for being able to be here if you are here today.
And we have about 13, I've counted, okay. Signed up. First, Mukhtar Abdu, Guy Ocker, and Matt Consola.
Okay, come on up, please.
And then they'll be followed by Blake Carson, Wind Durr, Dyer, thank you, and Delilah Jones.
All right. Thanks very much. I think you're on first. Go ahead.
Age before beauty.
I want to thank you for taking the time to do this.
Just give us your name again.
Oh, I'm sorry. My name is Matthew Consola.
Thanks, Matthew.
I'm speaking on behalf of the rideshare companies. I wanted to start off saying, you know, I was very frustrated after last week's meeting. You know, a lot of things were thrown around that just wasn't true by people just making conjecture. So I'm hoping that, you know, you're able to take a lot of this with a grain of salt, because it really doesn't matter what I as an Uber driver think about this and what the cab drivers think. It really depends on what the customer thinks. They wouldn't be choosing to use the rideshare companies, you know, if there wasn't a problem and if they, you know, didn't want to use them. And the reason the numbers are up is because they like the service better. In the Portland Tribune on January 2nd, a report was made that over 1 million people are moving to Portland because we are the number one destination. 1 million people in the next 5 years. Last week, we heard that there wasn't enough rides going around, and that the rideshare companies were, you know, taking all the business. Yet the majority of people using the rideshare apps are people from out of town. And with 1 million more people coming, we have horrible freeways here right now where it's bumper-to-bumper traffic at 2:30 in the afternoon. We need to get these people off the road. And with 2 or 3 more cab companies coming on board, obviously there must be enough work to go around if there's all these cab companies coming around. I personally work mostly the 12 midnight to about 5 a.m. I know Commissioner Fritz was concerned about surge pricing, and I could say that, you know, most of the time that I'm working those hours, it's not surge pricing, but there is some, because the surge pricing is there to let us know that more cars are needed. And I try to go out in areas like Hillsboro or Lake Oswego, where more cars are needed, and I don't concentrate in downtown.
Great. Well, thank you. Sure. Thank you very much. Good afternoon.
Hello, everybody. My name is Mukhtar Abdo. First, I want to thank you, our commissioners, our mayor, everybody here to let us to work Portland. And Portland is a great city for everybody. It's not for a particular company. It's not particular. Like what we see now when we drive in Uber, especially radio cab drivers, is the one who, wherever they see us, they do something bad action. But I want to tell them, this town belongs to everybody. It's not belongs to one particular person or to any person. And I was here last 2 weeks. They were talking like false statement. That's not the truth. We, Somali, we say, the sunshine nobody hold a hand. Uber bring good thing. People like it. The customer, they treat them bad, or the drivers who they treat bad is run away from them. They went to the Uber to get a better service. Better service, everybody. Like the world changing every day. Now we can use the old equipment we use in telegraph right now. It's not working. You bring that idea, it's not working. This is a smart world and a smartphone. So we need it. So all our customers, they happy. I never seen any rude customer, but they happy. They say the service is like we happy, whatever we needed. We see where you're going. We see everything. So, and it's 2-3 minutes. We're picking up the customer. Plus, they saying same fare, same, if it is a fare, so you charge me same money, I will pick up tomorrow in front of the hotel. I will sit and people raising hand, I will pick up and I will pay same amount of the money you guys saying, but we give you all this opportunity. You don't see what we give you, what we let you. But it's not, it's our town. It's not your town. It's for everybody. So I want to tell them, if it is fair, the town, let serves our people. It's our own town, our own people. We want to change. We don't want to stay with their own net. That's why we come out. And God bring Uber. One of our customers told me, Uber good for everything. That means they like it 100%. There is not like 90%. They are like 50 or 25% less everything. They don't do good service. People need it. The second thing, our life changed right now. So whatever we need it is whatever we do it. The town will be changed. And I want to tell, it's not the time you're forcing by people's choice. It's the time people follow their own choice and whatever they like. Here, there is a too many shop. There is a Dollar Tree, Rose. There is a too many shop. One expensive one is this. Let's serve our people. The one who has small money, let get a ride. The one who has a big money, let him get his own ride. It's not you saying, this is my way, this is my rule, this is only me. The world right now changing is with electronic and with internet service. So I want to say thank you for you guys, your vote. We need it. The change of Portland is your vote. If you don't do your vote today or tomorrow, our young generation, they don't have best future. They're going to stay like a telegraph. Tomorrow, the world will never change. There is a, we know in the world there is a people who never want to change in the world. Only they want their own interest. They don't look the interest for the society. Only they look in their pathway. So that's not the answer. The answer is look every side and let the people do their own choice.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Welcome.
Hello, my name is Guy Auker. A-U-K-E-R is my last name. First I want to say is I'm a driver for Uber, by the way. And what's nice as a – I like – as a rider, I like the convenience of just pulling out my app and getting a ride. I've used it numerous times in Portland. Number two, as a driver, I just want to say I like being a driver because I am a single father. And I like the extra income and the flexibility that, as an Uber driver, that gives me. And it's nice that anyone with a good driving record and a clean criminal history could do this. It's a really nice extra income. I do want to say that. The third thing I want to say is, first, you're, Mayor Hills, you're in charge of the police bureau, correct?
Yes, correct.
One thing I'm curious to see is, once we started this, I believe on April 22nd, have we had less drunk driving crashes? And I'm just making sure I'm saying this right. Less drunk driving crashes and less deaths due to drunk driving. And also, I would like to know, have we had less drunk driving arrests? I'm very curious to see that number.
Good question. I don't know that answer at the moment, but my impression is that it might be better than it was at this time last year.
Okay. I will call your office to see if we get that information.
We can pull apart those numbers. We know how many traffic deaths and accidents there are.
I would love to know that answer.
Thank you.
That's all I have.
Good point. Thank you. Thank you all. Thanks very much.
The next three are Blake Carson, Wynn Dwyer, Delilah Jones, and they'll be followed by David Holmquist, Lightning, and Peter Mordasher.
My name is Blake Carson. I own a radio cab. It seems that things are finally moving along, and that's almost good, but it's just the question is, what good is 4 more months going to do? It's not going to buy more time for a proper background check. It's not going to buy more time for them to prove proper insurance. It's not going to do anything but buy them time to have a tragedy in the streets of Portland. And that seems to be the only way that somebody is going to pay any attention. Watching the video from last week, it was brought up, the third-party audit, one of their drivers was removed. And the question should be is, how many trips did he give before he was removed? You're right, no system is perfect, but you kind of hope that your system will catch a convicted murderer. There was one of those. Thank God that he wasn't here. It's kind of hard to sit and find new things to argue about because we were kind of specific on what our expectations were. You know, it's kind of hard to beat the dead horse, but sometimes the horse needs to get beat. We want a proper background check. One, that a man was convicted of exploitation of a 13-year-old girl, gives 5,700 trips. You know, do you want your kid in that car if she's 18? That's the only way you can get an Uber ride is if you're 18. You know, it's TikTok. Thank you.
Thank you. Good afternoon.
Hi, I'm Wendy Dyer with Green Transportation. I had plans to come here and say meaningful things to you all, but quite frankly, I'm sick of talking and you're sick of listening. I would have said those meaningful things anyway had I not found out about an hour before this meeting. We lost one of our taxi drivers last week, C.G. George, a Portland taxi company who is maybe in her early 50s, passed away of a heart attack. Down in L.A. this weekend, they found a middle-aged woman slumped over in the back of her Uber vehicle, dead in a parking lot. People are literally dying to make 50 cents an hour with their cars or $2.50 a mile in for taxi drivers. You have a city here that is rapidly gentrifying. People of low income with low mobility are rapidly being displaced. There are so many people on the freeways trying to get to and from the menial jobs that they can work. Traffic is deplorable. Yeah, I know there's all the port union stuff too, but whatever the case, putting 10,000 other cars on the street isn't going to help anyone make a better living or get anywhere faster or do anything about the income equality and transportation equality gaps we have here between the rich and the poor and the inner city and the outer city. And so I'm just going to ask you, what can you do about this? Because I know you can't bring CE back, and you know whatever happened in L.A. is what happened in L.A., and we like to pretend that those things will never happen here, but they will. I want you to do this. Figure out some sort of cap solution that works for both industries. It can be flexible on Uber's part. It can be firm on ours. I don't care. We all need to make a living wage job. And right now, Uber's a shiny new toy. Its gloss is already wearing back. They're coming back to us. Those drivers are going to be hurting just as bad as we are, like they are everywhere else in this nation. Put cameras in the cars. Make them accessible only by your police force. We need to protect our drivers and our passengers. We need car-based GPS tracking. We need visible branding, both for enforcement and for safety purposes on the TNC cars. It can be removable. There are such things as magnets. They use them elsewhere. They should use them here. We need insurance. Full insurance when those cars are on the road operating commercially, and that includes period one. We also need accidental occupational insurance like we cab drivers have. Uber drivers need those too. And last but not least, my personal pet peeve, the fire extinguishers. Dan Saltzman, please don't back down on that one. They got these little keychain fire extinguishers that they were given out at the not ASE inspections. Make them at least have the keychain fire extinguishers. They're really important. If you do the research with your fire department, you'll realize that they're not a thing of the past. And if cab drivers have to have them, Uber drivers have to have them too. Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks very much. Welcome.
My name is Delilah Jones, and I am an owner at Radio Cab. I've been driving for 7 years. I do want to... like you were saying, Nick Fish, I want to make this an educational opportunity for you guys. I'm not sure if you're familiar with the permitting process, so I'm going to walk you through it pretty briefly. Basically, when you first want to be a taxi driver, you go to the City of Portland. I guess it's now the Bureau of Transportation dealing with it. And you show your face. You take a test. It's not very hard. I passed it in 8 minutes with 100%. Granted, I'm a native Portlander, so. But it, you know. Checks that you know your way around a little bit. And you get a background check, you get a driving record check, you pay them $100, you get your picture taken, and then you get this piece of plastic with a sticker on it. Every year you go back, you give them another $100. That $100 goes to pay for your background check and the staffing in this office, and your driving record check again every year. So this year was different because of the short-term fix that you guys did, where I got a free sticker for 3 months or 4 months, and then I just got this one in the mail that's good for a year. It's good till May 2016, as it would have been, but I didn't have to pay for it, so that means the city is paying for my background check. My question is, I've read the recommendations of the task force, and they suggest that the permitting process should be shifted from the public to the private sector. And I don't really understand why. This is not an onerous, difficult thing to do. It takes about 45 minutes. It costs $100. I looked on Craigslist today. Uber is advertising that you can make $768 a week, which is a really arbitrary number. So one day of work for the entire year, right? And you're covered. And the fact is, at this office, you know that every person who has one of these pieces of plastic has been vetted by a very good background check. You know the background check. You know that the driver has done it. You can also, at that point, check that they have the proper commercial insurance, unless you, I would love to see what California has done, is to require that from the point that the app is turned on to the point that the app is turned off, the Uber driver is covered primarily by Uber. But if you guys can't mandate that, or the state can't mandate that, then this is an opportunity. The city can check that they have the proper commercial insurance and that nobody's going to fall through the cracks.
Thank you very much. That's very helpful. Is that the annual check? Is it your understanding that there's an annual background check?
Yes, there is. I actually called the PBOT today and verified that, in fact, they did do a background check. They will do background checks. New drivers at this point don't have to pay anything. So this is a great opportunity, since we're not charging for the next 12 months, apparently. Any Uber driver in this room can go and get one of these and be covered and have no questions about it.
We haven't decided that yet.
Okay,
and we're
also
going to be working on the insurance issue. I appreciate that.
Yeah, thank you.
Now, last week there was mention of a $600 a year.
That's a separate issue. That's the plate that's on the back of my cab. I actually thought about bringing it in, but I didn't have the proper tools to remove it. So that is an annual renewal fee, $600 per plate. So I pay $300. My business partner, who drives during the day, pays $300.
What's that for?
That is supposedly it's for enforcement, although I've never heard of – I mean, I've been driving for 7 years. Nobody's ever taken a look at this.
Does your car have to be reinspected for that
$600? It does, yeah.
For that $600?
My car is inspected twice a year, once by the city and once by my company.
It's
a mechanical inspection, as well as making sure that I have my fire extinguisher, my first aid kit, my camera's in good working order, the meter is clicking at the right rate, all that sort of stuff.
And presumably, if you showed up to and tried to take your cab out and it had a cracked windshield, your supervisor would see that and say, "No, you can't drive."
Yes. Yeah, that's happened.
Thank you. That's very helpful.
So if I could just beg your indulgence for a second. On the primary insurance question for commercial insurance, my understanding is there's consensus up here that it will be primary during all the periods. So I appreciate you, but that's my understanding. But the insurance issue, there's a wrinkle, and I'd like to just get your opinion on this. And someone gave me a chart because they know that I visualize things better than read things. So in period one, TNCs offer less insurance than cabs. In periods two and three, TNCs typically offer more commercial insurance. Well, just hear me out. So whether you accept or reject the premise of the question, we're going to have to grapple with something nonetheless, which is, do we mandate parity for cabs and TNCs at a specific level for all purposes? And if so, what should the amount be? So what should the amount be?
I think a mandated minimum would be sufficient. Because radio cab exceeds the mandated minimum.
Right.
I don't know what those numbers are. I'm not an insurance person.
I think what we're hearing is, cabs are at $500,000, and TNCs are below that in period one, potentially above it. So one option is to mandate parity at the level of, say, $1 million, mm-hmm. $1 million for all purposes. Mm-hmm. I'm not asking you to bind everybody here, but do you have a view on that?
That seems sufficient to me. $1 million, that's what radio cab covers is $1 million.
Should be parity. Whatever
parity,
it is,
absolutely.
It should apply equally to both.
Absolutely. And the argument that I heard last week was that during period one, the Uber driver could be sitting in a coffee shop, watching YouTube videos. Well, and the fact is that then it's lowered risk and they'll get a lower premium. So what?
Yeah, I personally don't accept that distinction. So you've persuaded me of that. But so primary insurance, parity for all providers, and now the question is, at what's the minimum?
$1 million seems reasonable to me, but I'm not,
Industry standard.
Yeah, industry standard. I think some have, with medical accounts, have 2 million, the cab companies. So, you know, that's for specialized accounts. But across the board, 1 million.
Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
Thanks very much.
And the next three, please, David Holmquist, Lightning, and Peter Mordasher. They'll be followed by Paul Lesconis, Mike McDermott, and Rochelle Menasche.
Afternoon.
Afternoon.
Okay, who'd like to be first?
Go ahead.
Okay, Lightning, go ahead.
Yes, my name is Lightning. I represent Lightning Watchdog X. In my opinion, the pilot program's over. I think Uber and Lyft should leave the city. And let me state why. The cab companies during this pilot program have lost a tremendous amount of profits. They've invested a lot of money over the years, many, many years, and they're still here. They're also losing a tremendous amount of money. The drivers also, the companies, valuations are plummeting immediately. If this pilot program has any meaning, we should stop Uber and Lyft at this time until they can come back to the table and say, how are we going to prevent this? We talk about shared economy. We want to come into the Portland market. No, you want to come in and do a hostile takeover on the Portland market. That's what you've done in other states. You have 150,000 drivers in India. You have 42,000 drivers in China. This is such a small market. You don't have to do a hostile takeover here. Think about what you're doing. This is a pilot program. Do not step on the traditional cab companies to gain competitive edge here. It doesn't boost your company all that much anyway. So I want you to think about how you're going to come into town and work with these cab companies, work with the drivers, and check where their incomes are. I want to know how much money you're going to invest into the city. I want to know what your future plans are on taking care of the people in this city and not just skimming off the top and taking the money back to San Francisco. So I want you to slow up a little bit and think about taking care of these cab company owners, taking care of the drivers, and don't come in here like a hostile takeover and try to take over this market, because Portland will stand behind their traditional cab companies. Thank you.
Thank you. Afternoon. Welcome.
I want to thank you and admire you. First, I'm David Holmquist. For your conduct as a counsel last Wednesday in listening to what was being said, I think much of it was uncivil, much of it was antisocial, and much of it was misinformation. So I admire your job. I couldn't put up with it myself, but you did, and thank you very much. I'm not going to read what I wrote for last week. I handed out copies of that. On the insurance issue, I'd like to just say that a million is enough, and I think what insurance should do is cover the apparent risk. When the risk is low, you shouldn't have to cover very much. In period one and period two, the driver is alone in the car, and the real issue is the damage he might do to somebody else and the damage done to himself in his car. That's a lower level of risk than $1 million.
Let's take your point first. And who do you represent?
Uber.
I didn't hear that.
I represent myself. I drive for Uber.
I'm sorry. I didn't pick up on that when you introduced yourself. So if we mandate a minimum amount of insurance, why not let the marketplace determine what the premium is calibrated to the risk? You make a persuasive point that there may be less risk in period one. So if we mandate what the minimum coverage is, presumably an insurance company is going to charge less for that amount of insurance because there's less risk. But that let the marketplace sort that out, and I think isn't our job to set what the floor should be?
Yes, I believe that what you say is true. I wouldn't like to see the city council set insurance practices by levels of coverage. I do think that the period when we have three or four, five or six people in our car is a tremendously higher risk, And I question whether a million is enough in today's health care situation, which is really high.
But again, just to be clear, sir.
Yes.
You have no quarrel with the council setting the minimums, and you and I agree that then the marketplace can figure out what is the appropriate cost for that insurance.
I do have some quarrel with your setting the minimums. This is not my area of specialty, but I would think that would be something that Uber would want to work out, and the taxi companies as well, to protect their investment and their liability.
Again, I'm not here to argue the point, but our concern is not protecting Uber or the taxi companies. Our concern is protecting the public safety.
Mine too.
And if someone, God forbid, is hit by a vehicle, we want to make sure there's adequate coverage for that person. So that's the public interest for us, not the marginal impact of the cost on the operator.
I think Uber and I and taxi companies would agree with that. I also wanted to say something about caps. I don't see caps as necessary because in our way of doing this business, the drivers can quit anytime they want to quit. They can walk away from that day's work by signing off the wrap and going home. We don't have to put in 12 hours. That means that if there's not business on the streets available, if we're driving, or not driving, but if we're not driving people around, we're wasting our own resources. So what we do then is we go home or we park and we turn on our app and wait. We are not driving around, Ms. Fritz. We do not drive around aimlessly, thousands of cars in this city wasting resources. That would be really stupid. I'm not stupid. I don't believe the other drivers are either. So when there is not business, I'm saying we quit.
So you're saying that you take somebody out to Lentz and you just stay there until there's another ride back from Lentz?
I'm saying when there, no. At times some people do, and they wait for a ride in Lentz. Sometimes that works, sometimes it doesn't. But more often than not, we turn off our engine and wait for a ride to happen. It does happen that the core of Portland has more riders than elsewhere, mostly because most of our riders, two-thirds in my case, are from out of town, and they're here in the core doing business, staying in hotels, eating at the great restaurants. They're not in the suburbs. Yeah. So I just wanted to say that about caps. So we are self-limiting. If the business isn't there, we're not on the road. And we, like we've heard here, if someone's not making any money doing Uber, they're going to quit. They're going to quit the business. It's a self-limiting thing. So caps aren't necessary. I don't understand why there are caps on the number of cabs, other than that perhaps, this is only conjecture, the city fathers are saying, you people shouldn't be in cars. You should be in public transportation, on bikes, and on your feet. And I don't think that's a position that our city council should be taking to determine how people get around. In fact, private for hire rides are a very strong business. People want it. What we should do is make sure that there's public safety and that there's quick service, good service, and you're about that task, I think, and that's good. But as for determining how people get around in the city, you're making options available, and that's good. The new Tillicum Crossing Bridge is a marvelous thing. No cars or trucks are involved, and that's a tremendous commitment from the city to public transportation and alternate means of getting around. That's a multi-million dollar commitment. Very good. But neither taxis nor Uber will be using that bridge. We could use another one.
We hope so. Thank you very much. Yeah. Thank you. Welcome.
Hello, my name is Peter Mordashev. I have been an owner-operator with Radio Cab Company since 2008 until June 1st, 2014. I'm currently a partner with Uber Technologies. And I have to say, after the last meeting, I'm kind of embarrassed with being with the company, with Radio Cab Company, for so long, for hearing so many false points that those people brought up. I don't have time, like we all don't have time to go through all those false points right now. I just bring up one. Mr. Darren Campbell is a profound liar and a manipulator who was making a presentation here. He represents, well, I have to say, he never represented for me, never will. He made a point that because Uber customers have cell phones and credit cards, then Uber take, like, skimming off the top and taking all the best fares. That's simply not true. Here's Tuesday, August the 25th, 22 trips, total $125.31. Divide 125.31 by 22 will be less than $6, but more than $5 per trip. Now, I'm not making a point that Uber driver is not making money or anything like that. I'm making a point that Darren Campbell is a liar and manipulator, or at the very least, he just doesn't know the facts, which I do not believe is true.
Sir, can I just make an observation?
Yeah.
We celebrate the First Amendment in this country, and we celebrate your right to come and, within boundaries, say whatever you want. I have yet, in my 7 years on the council, seen a debate made better and more helpful and more useful when we question people's motives or we use derogatory language. You may have a very strong view about the testimony of someone, but I just would encourage all of us, we don't need to disparage people we disagree with. If you have a disagreement, state the disagreement. We're adults. We're going to listen very carefully to you. But I think we should avoid name-calling and derogatory comments. It lowers everybody.
Yeah, so just tell us what you think we need to know.
Okay. Well, I'm just saying, I just try to let you all know that some points that were brought up during the past meeting were just false. That's the only point I was trying to make. And I brought up an example. And also, I would like to say that I'm happy with being an Uber partner because being with Uber encourages a person to find a job, finally. Because all I heard from cab drivers last meeting and this meeting, money, 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 dollars and cents. Give me more, give me more, give me more money. Social Security office on Yamhill. The Yamhill 16th over that way. You broke, go over there. Don't go here. This is a business. Whoever provides a service for lower price wins. Period. End of story.
Thank you very much.
If I may finish my speech real fast, just
briefly,
10 seconds.
Briefly, Levin, please.
We need to understand when the traditional taxi companies and the drivers are hurting right now, the next people to take the biggest loss and to understand this will be public transportation, streetcar, TriMet Max, and buses. When Uber Pool becomes efficient, they'll cut into your profits, and I can assure you at that time, you're going to really look real close at this because that's public money that you're all responsible, and you better watch Uber and you better watch Lyft real fast because they're not here just to get 2,000 drivers here. That's small time for them. They're here to take over your public transportation, and the public has a right for you to defend us and protect our rights on that.
Okay,
look around,
you.
State to state. They're no joke.
Thank you very much.
One very last thing. In 5 years from now, there will be self-driving cars all over the place. So what are we going to do? Sit here and be like, oh, poor driver's not making any income. Let's not allow self-driving cars? Really? I don't think so.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks very much.
Next three, please. Paul Luskanis, Mike McDermott, Rochelle Menasche, followed by John Moran, Tony Seymour, Jean Tiber.
Good afternoon. Welcome.
Thank you very much. My name is Paul Esconis. I've been driving for Green Cab for over 13 years. And I'm here to talk specifically about the recommendation of no caps in the industry. So creating public policy that works can be an art form. You need to balance the needs and wants of all the stakeholders. You guys know this. I've been creating policy for Green Cab for over 12 years on their safety committee and disciplinary committee. Now, this idea of having no caps is, let me back up. So the balance is of the needs and wants of all the stakeholders. When it's done right, you have growth. That's what I want to say. When it's not done right, you have other things. You've got things like destruction. You've got things like desperation. You've got things like crime. So the history of bad policies in the transportation industry in Portland, we only had two cab companies for a long time. Like the limo driver from Uber pointed out last week, after 30 years of being the only two companies, they got lazy and their cabs weren't anything to be proud of. So then the city did a good thing. They allowed three more companies to enter the market, and all the companies had to ramp up their game in order to be competitive. Then we had another bad policy was introduced called the moratorium. For over 12 years, every year, TestFi at Green Cab would submit new applications for new cabs, and they were denied. They were denied even for new wave vehicles. So the community cried out that there was a problem with the cab companies, not realizing that the cab companies had their hands tied. So then, after all this time with new cars, now we want to put thousands of new cars on the streets. I'm not against Uber being here. I'm just against the idea that everyone who has put a significant investment is going to have that investment pay off. I'm worried that it's going to destroy some of the companies. I'm worried it's going to destroy some lives. I'm worried that it's going to cause a gross imbalance that only, and so far, all I can see is that it just serves the needs of the no-cap policy, just serves the needs of Uber as a company. I think even as a Uber driver, I don't want 10,000 Uber drivers out there. A couple thousand, whatever the market will allow, that's great. But let's not just rush into no caps.
I need you to wrap up. That's good.
I have
good
a lot point. More to say, but I'll leave it right there. Thank you very much.
That's very helpful. Welcome.
Thanks for having me here. My name is Mike McDermott. I'm a wheelchair van driver at Radio Cab Company. I'm on the board of directors at the cab company, and I'm the former board of directors liaison to the safety committee. I'd like to speak to a few topics. One of the primary ones is the level of capping we have in this city, or that we used to have. We used to have caps on our permits, and we would treasure those. We would try to appeal to the city to get more permits. People call them plates, and each cab is attached to a permit. That means they can pick up within the city of Portland. They've been inspected twice. My wheelchair van was inspected, had a surprise audit the other day by Will Martin up in Peabot. They called a cab to New Rose City, but New Rose City forwarded the call to us. I answered the call and showed up. So he audited my vehicle. The interesting thing is we bring in Uber to help alleviate all of the complaints we get from midnight travelers who coming home from bars, going home late at night from work, and we can't do it because we don't have enough cars out. So what does the city do? The city says, well, I'm sorry, there's enough permits. If we allow more permits to go out, it might create a monopoly, and we don't want to do that. So they allow Uber in. The city allowed Uber in to help alleviate that, even though this could have been fixed in the status quo, and it was never fixed. It was never even addressed. We tried to get more permits, and we couldn't do it. I'm on the board of directors. I know about the conversations we have. I know what we try to do, and I know we've tried to approach the city about it. We allowed other cab companies in because we want to make sure that people are fairly represented. We still do many more trips than our closest competitors combined. Our average driver is driving 50,000 to 60,000 miles per year per shift on their vehicle. Not per shift, but over the year. And we're not, the other cab companies can't do it because they don't have the reputation that we have. We have great managers who take care of the lease drivers, and we make sure that the lease drivers comply with our safety standards. We make sure they comply with the city's safety standards, Mayor. And Uber is, now we're just allowing a bunch of amateurs on the road. They've already hit our vehicles. I've already seen the damage they're doing. I know the amounts of damage they're doing. And I do agree with you, Mr. Fish. There needs to be parity. $1 million limit on all levels. It needs to happen. Whether or not they say that they're going to sit under a shady tree or over at a coffee shop, that's not true, because they're going to be driving somewhere.
Thank you. Thanks very much. Welcome.
Hi, my name is Rochelle Menashe, and I have been a radio cab driver for 4 years. I started driving cab because I am partially handicapped, and this is pretty much the only thing I've been able to do as to make a living. I do collect medical and some minimal amount of disability. I have a cap on the amount of money that I'm allowed to make, and otherwise I will lose my benefits. So since Uber and Lyft have, this pilot program has started, I find myself having to work at least 2 to 3 times harder and longer hours than I was before. Pretty soon I'm not going to be able to afford my rent, and I'm sure there's a lot of other drivers in the same boat. As a cab driver, I take great pride in, I call this my career choice. There's many years of people putting into this industry, and to allow TNCs to come in and operate in the, like we work very, very hard all week long in order to be able to reap the rewards of high volume peak hours, the weekends, rush hour. And now that, it seems like most of the testimony I heard last week was from Uber and Lyft drivers claiming that they only work part-time and during those peak hours. So they're taking our bread and butter away. Those are the days, those are the times that I know I can count on making more than minimum wage. This pilot program has already been, accepted. Mayor Hales, Steve Novick, we know you met behind closed doors with Uber lobbyist Mark Weiner. And even though it seems like it's a done deal, I urge the rest of you to please put a stop to this. I had a customer the other day ask me if I do this as a hobby or as my job, and that just really hit home with me. You open the door, you can close it. Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks very much. Thank you all. Pick the next.
And the next three, John Moran, Tony Seymour, Jeanette Tiber, followed by John Holgate and Kadir Wako.
Good afternoon. Welcome.
Hello. I'd like to thank the council members for the opportunity to speak today. My name is John Moran, and I'm a proud driver for the local rideshare company, Radio Cab. I like to use the term rideshare company because the TNCs like to use it, even though it's clearly a misnomer. There is no sharing in the TNC's rideshare model. It's hiring a driver and a vehicle to take you where you're going, not sharing a ride where they happen to be going. The Bureau of Transportation doesn't even believe this lie, so they have coined the term transportation network companies. But I digress. I'm here to make the point of carrying capacity. This term is used by biologists and economists alike. It is defined as the maximum equilibrium number of organisms a particular species can be supported indefinitely by a given environment. Basically, if there is space and resources, those organisms will grow and expand until they have reached this number. One thing to note is that when this number is surpassed, times of famine and die-off ensue. I'd like you to keep this point in mind and come back to this. For years, the Bureau of Transportation has kept the number of permitted taxis lower than the amount the taxi companies were asking for. This had the side effect of slower wait times for taxi customers, but what it did was ensure the taxi drivers themselves had a livable wage. It also limited the number of vehicles on the road. As Portland grows, we are experiencing more traffic. If you haven't driven it yourself, please trust me, I am out there every day. I bring these two points up because back in February, the Private-to-Hire Board of Review finally approved more taxi permits. 242 were to be given out, an increase the Oregonian reported as 63% more than was given out than was even on the road at the time. It takes a while to purchase, paint, and outfit cars with meters, cameras, dispatching system, and taxi light. So the decrease in wait time for customers wasn't immediate. As these cabs were coming online, the pool of taxis grew by 63%, and the Innovation Task Force approved the TNCs to work in Portland, which then just increased the number of it flooded the market. As a taxi company, we are still only permitted a maximum number of vehicles on the road, and the TNCs are allowed unlimited number of taxis. Don't let them say they are not taxis. The result of these two incidents has been a famine to all private-to-hire drivers citywide. We haven't just hit carrying capacity. We have blown over the number. In January of 2012, then-Mayor Sam Adams directed Portland City of Portland Revenue Bureau to complete a comprehensive review of the economic and working conditions of taxi drivers. The review found that the effective hourly income of Portland taxi drivers is $6.22. You're chopping up living wage jobs for part-time supplemental income jobs. If that report was done today, that income would have dropped, it would have decreased. Radio Cab isn't afraid of competition. We have been a proud staple of Portland for 75 years. Uber and Lyft are just competitions, but what you're allowing them to have is the upper hand in this competition, which is why I ask that you see what the result in the customer wait times is with just the 63% increase by saying no to TNCs. So you can get an idea of what that decrease in wait times is without being allowed decrease in wait times is without it just being allowed for the TMCs to take credit for it. Their numbers on wait times are skewed anyways. Cabs pick up further out in the suburbs. The times it takes to get out there is longer, whereas the numbers shown by the task force show that TNCs rarely go out to the suburb.
I need you to try to wrap up quickly.
I will do so. I know that capping the number on TNCs on the road isn't new to Uber. They have successfully bullied New York into stepping back on that regulation, which is why if it's going to be done, it should be done now, because they won't allow it later. If not to help private-to-hire drivers keep a livable wage, please do it to help us decrease traffic. The City Council is here to make Portland better. Let your legacy be that. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thanks very much. Welcome.
My name is John Moran, and I'm an Uber driver full-time. I drive between 40 and 50 hours a week. And I think one of the main topics that I would like to bring up is what I hear every day from my passengers, the dislike of cab companies. They're sick to death of unreliable service. They love Uber. They use it other places. Like it's been said here before, the majority, I'd say probably a good two-thirds of my passengers are from out of town. They're tourists and business people. I've had business people tell me that they did not like coming to Portland because Uber was not here. They were so dissatisfied with the service. I had one gentleman actually tell me that he refused to come to Portland. He sent his other people because he was so frustrated with the taxi services. I'm a recovering alcoholic. I've been sober almost 10 years. And, you know, I'm not proud to say that I'm sure on many occasions I drank and drove. I think if Uber was around at that time, I would have used it a lot more. I really think that there's so many more people that are getting out of their cars, deciding not to drive to the bar because there is a reliable service that they can call. They can see immediately when it's coming. When they call a cab, many of the time the cab doesn't turn up. When the cab turns up, they come out and there's someone else getting into their cab. You know, so it's a very, very reliable service. And I would really applaud you to actually talk to the people that actually use the service, not just the cab companies, not just the Uber drivers or the Lyft drivers, the actual people that use the service. They love it. They absolutely love it. And so I think that's all I have to say.
Thank you. Thanks very much. Good afternoon.
Hi, my name is Tony Seymour, and I am a radio cab owner, have been for 14 years. Thanks very much for your participation and your willingness to listen to some of the interesting comments that you've been getting. One thing that I would like to reiterate that I think has been forgotten in this whole thing, and that is that when this was all put together, when the transportation plan for Portland was put together, the taxi cab was the lowest common denominator of it. In other words, with taxi cabs, we can build a system, and then we'll have buses, and we'll have trolley cars, and we'll have whatever's above that to move a large amount of people once upon a time. But I got to tell you that when it stops, when public transportation stops, who do you call? It's not the Ghostbusters. It's the cabs. And we're there all night because we're required to be there 24 hours a day. Now, is there a lot of business from 3 o'clock in the morning until 7 o'clock in the morning? No, there isn't. But do we get to go home, as one of the Uber drivers suggested was probably his idea about what he should be doing when he's not moving? If I were moving all the time, I could have retired years ago. The truth is that a good share of the time, I'm sitting, and I'm waiting for work. This reminds me of a little story that I'll bore you with for a second. There's a joke about a pig and a chicken about how they participate in breakfast. And the truth is that the chicken is a participant in breakfast, and the pig is committed. You guys are the chicken, we're the pig. And I don't mind doing that. I love what I do. But the truth is, we are the ones that are committed to doing the work, and we have been. And we've been doing the city's work all this time. Letting you have a public transportation system, can you imagine running your public transportation system all night long? No, because you've been asked to do it, and you've said no, consistently. TriMet has said no, and the city council has probably, you know, pushed that along. I actually had a lot more things that I wanted to say, but basically what I want you to know is that I think it's important to remember that the human factor here is really important. The cab drivers and their companies have been taking care of the people who can't take care of themselves in Portland for a long time. This gentleman right here spoke of being taking care of businessmen and tourists. Those are the people that cab drivers love to have because generally they're going someplace and they don't mind spending a little money. But what about your mom that's at the grocery store and wants somebody to come pick her up and take her groceries into the house for her? I guarantee that Uber drivers will not be signing up for that one. But the trick is for us that we're required to do those things and we don't mind. We don't mind doing it at all. But the trick is if you take away the cream of the crop, we've got nothing left. And what you're going to do is put a lot of people out of business because they can't afford to continue to be only doing the crappy jobs. I know that all of the cab drivers that I know are voters. And the people that we carry in our cabs are voters. And one of the things that seems like right now, you guys are stuck in a place where you could either stop this thing and start over again, or at least add some of the information and comments that you've received that will make it work, because we're not asking for you to throw them out, or at least I'm not. I think ultimately we're going to have to face the fact that this is something that's coming in the 21st century. What's happened is you guys have come off at warp speed to make this thing happen. One of our city councilmen was on the phone with them screaming at them when they told him, you can't come to our city and do that. And what's going on now? Please come to our city. We want you here. There's something kind of missing about that. I feel sort of like the little kid that told the emperors that he was naked in the parade. Because it's like, you know, here we have this thing where everybody's saying, oh, this is going to be so wonderful. And the truth is, it's not that wonderful. It needs to be brought into our system, our Portland cab industry layout, and the way that it's been put together by the city, needs to be brought in gently, not all at once, not helter-skelter. That's all I got.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you all.
Thank you.
The next three I have are John Holgate, Kadir Wako, and Alem Tesfaye, and Jeanette. I did call your name.
We'll get you up.
Have a seat. Jeanette, you'll be next.
We'll get you up in the next. We'll get you up in the next round.
No, and then Jeanette and Kirk Foster will be after these gentlemen.
Okay. Welcome.
I guess I'm John Holgate. I have been driving with Uber since November last year when we were operating out in the suburbs. I live in Southeast Portland. I'm one of these Uber drivers who drive during those hours from past 12 midnight, sometimes as late as 7 in the morning. And I know just from having met with some of my other drivers at the airport and other locations that we do have people out there working in those hours and taking some of those difficult trips that the prior gentleman was talking about.